Indictus is a not, it's not a word really. It was once a word. It's a word that is an etymological root of the word indict. And from the etymology, indictus means to write the unsaid, which is a very interesting way to think about what it means to indict. And that is a very political term that, when you say like no indictment in this day and age, it like means something disastrous for the world. So it's called Indictus, to write the unsaid, because this book is about, it is about, trauma. It's about personal histories of abuse. With that said, I also, I decided to take passages from the Bible and rewrite them a little bit, because self-importance is also self-care. No, I'm joking. But I wanted, the Bible is not very nice to women, and so I wanted therein to construct a feminist landscape that also demonstrated autobiography, pulling something about renewal of landscape from this very patriarchal plane. So I'll start where many start, and with a poem called Genesis. So this is called Genesis. God said, "Let there be corn," and I died a nasty light infection. I wouldn't attempt an exchange if I didn't believe in the work of negation. I have said no is a political nod, and I have said yes is part of the work of omission. I have spilled matter before, and I will again in order for my ruin to gain traction. My mouth is sore since it gawked out redness. I learned to lick to find surfaces, the salty gesture. I pin my tongue against time to taste. I open my monster to admit the public into my sore museums. I run my finger over my carriage to test for dust. There is something effortless about war paint that infuriates me, how the men stand at the tailgate bursting open their sores, that there is a terrible nakedness inside their pants, and I want to snort them all into my lungs. I have not told you why for years I placed a stone over my throat, but when I said yes, it was to obliterate certainty, and when I said no, it was to obliterate certainty. Years ago, my thighs opened and the stone trickled out. I made a cake for the annihilation, twain and sour gams. What I loved about autobiography was how it didn't spill over, not really. Rather, the inculcation of passing through formed a weapon against the conceit of weapons. I read your memoir until I had your life by the balls, the moony tang of confessional. I trolled the banks until a single hair could be pulled from my cunt, and I bent far enough over to show off my afterlife, to give the people what they begged for. This is my goddamn landscape. I wrote about my passage into envy on onion skins, and I boasted its nature into a rust puddle. I supped to bloat into oblivion. If I exaggerate, it is so you believe me this time, so my body can finally form into its fable. Meat fills the edges of narrative, and you can leer at my edges. It's what I've always wanted, the spit and the lunch and the glitch of your gaze. Consent is a hole I've dropped all the silverware through. I eat with arms tied. I began this by pronouncing God into the silk of a wound, and I began when I fondled commandment into an act of mercy. It was no big deal. It was already there. I simply found a messiah and polluted the air with my kind. I gave you a thimble with my nails inside, and I told you, shake the contents. That desiccated mouth is mine. It says yes, it says no. It drips a sore into your palm and another. close your hand around it. I'm writing a novel about paradise. I'm just gonna read, I'm not gonna give much preface except when it commands it. To become myself, I fear what I'll become. Language only explains itself inside. That's what I've come here to tell you. There is an opening, no, an incision. Basement air leaks from a building's gap. I can form my body around the wet gray mildew, kick empty smoothie cups steeped in quiet, a sullen gesture. In childhood, I strung a hose around my waist and tied the other end to a base of a tree. There was a fallout shelter in the woods. I strung a hose around my waist. To enter, my body a gesso against the concrete walls. So many wet leaves held me brotherly below. I believe in the power of dramatic entrance. I do. Shale performs the offense of memory. Isn't that right? The way feet can shed a buried wall into the grief of touch. I'm lonely. There. It was easy to say. I wrote many letters then to my mother to confess these necessary disappearances. It has always been easy, my desire to die. I waited in the earth with a crown of tiger lilies. We formed from the mistake of form, the mind pink by the chemical spills of each tree, each flicker. I followed a hose to an underground pit and got in. I wanted the hose to snap. Wanted the cool dark the way a deadbolt wants nothing. One thought to repelling is you shouldn't climb back up. Chronology thirsts for the body clock, edges shape in its testimony. Another is leaving becomes a noun when the landscape ceases. Before I could beg, I had knees. My skin grew over a pebble and it slips in my grease like a bad math. I love my city. It gives me a cool slap, names the kneecap pebble. There was a time when land outside clasped inside and stayed just there, a part I could elect to keep. And so kept and keep, home and a pleading only throats know. My city softened long ago into information. I bring a loam of data to my nose. Let the bridge winds stun my shoulders. I can't stay. You see, there are so many images to reconcile. They writhe to be seen beneath the tarp my brothers sewed, blue into other blue, some cheap sky ripped from the jaws of a comatose mother. And isn't memory gorgeous? Skin over the knee, over the fragment, a joint that can break both ways to fail us. Like the seams of a closet of dresses, it waits to tear. I want to tell you of home, the letters unclaimed. In the basement air, a hose lay strung around my waist. This is called Hexodus. It's like Exodus, but with a little H in there. Hexodus. They get to name the sons, and I get a short cry before falling into line. I loosed my thighs by the river and scrubbed oil slick fauna with my pubis to cure them of the slick. My fever is I'm starving. I've gone slack in the arm, spooned mud to begging lips, and beat my tongue into absolution. Do you know that I walked the rape trenches and came back many times to redeem the witch, and my powerlessness clenched power to redeem the witch? The cervix buckled under the gate of its thick visions, and I could do nothing but serve my kind more mud and more absolution. This is my chorus of refusal, to know I am asunder and to know I crave the chasm that it makes. You mewled into the sunset as I exited the scene, but did you know when the sun sets, all I know is how we fail each other. I want to find a better bridge, and I want to be misguided by the promise of suspension. To meditate, I recall my soft inner cheek as it was pressed into my teeth by a silver hand. I don't know if I should be allowed a permanent ordinance. The earth drains the color from my cheeks as I give my lord a better O-face. My sex is a golden lampstand. I grip my teeth around its poles. I bleed inventory until a journey winnows through. I anoint the curious when I stand at the helm of invention, and I renew every snare to perform it again. Wasn't there an idea of community that unnerved me that I didn't know when I didn't know what to do with community? My ejaculations leave me empty-handed in this way that daughters play the harlot with their gods. Karina dreams she must perform in a white van to her assailants, construct a tabernacle against the wood of dominance, smile for the cameras in order to seduce her trauma into pillars and rings and curtains. Of course, when the congregation eyes me, I wiggle my carriage until my calves announce my purpose. No wonder I slurp when they bring the spoon to my lips. I gave up priestly garments to be closer to the burning filigree. I singed my polyester tunic. Last night, a man handed me his letter of apology, and I'm an opportunist for gifts, so I put the whole congregation in my mouth, and lo, my power is I have not once bitten down. A couple more Bible poems. This is called Book of Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign, Dollar Sign. These are the names of the men who are to assist you. From the tribe of Michael, you must get on your knees, beg the medals out as our Lord presses his power into the back of your head. A blessing in divisions as we chew what we possess. The descendants of Benjamin undergo a kind of sanctuary of the mind, redeem their livestock on your waistband, the white underwear shekeled around the thighs. They are to spread a blue cloth over the table and put on it the plates, dishes, bowls. From the clan of Ryan, you must darken the front of your dress, stand against the headlights charging toward you. They must make full restitution for the wrong they have done. You are to stave off forgiveness as the thrust bleats value, where in the background Girls Gone Wild blares. Do you remember when the Klan broke us into the Kings Park Insane Asylum and you hyperventilated the walls into crushed tissue, your nose snorting crooked eyes of what our dear readers imagine did happen? The priest shall take some holy water and put some dust from the tabernacle floor into the water, tip your head back, and force you to drink its bitters. It was almost funny, your lightness. The jealous hands wrapped their girth around your butt cheek, slapped and slapped away the white. It always happens this way. The brutes thick and bright along the eastern seaboard ramp and hawk a slick wick mania until a basket of bread hardens to members and a feast follows slaughter lines back to the sour spit of your stomach. Profligacy is only good in meat cures. Its glutinous sparkle blitzes the incidents in the basement, the bathroom, the bedroom. Ah, yes, the terrible bees are like a countless day of before, defiled during the period of dedication. Remember, a sin offering is one goat. The Lord is stuffed to world with feeding girls. A cloud over the tabernacle thus spoke Nasdaq, and you willed the coins to trickle down your throat in accordance with his commands for more sunsets. That is how it continued to be. The elders seduced their dusty eggs into prophecy, licked at the leprous ash, and measured grains of Megaway to paradise. At your session, you recounted the portion of your spleen that leans womanly to blade. The tassels on your garments swung. Do not accept a ransom from anyone who has fled the city, the bros chant, kiss their crunch IDs. They smothered you with every law on market and bound you there, there. Language and its exceptions do not dignify the impure womb with miscarriage. Soaked in vinegars, you watch crows lift heavily off as you grip your testament to power grids. The revisionist yes, a mess of the chugging throat, the yes, Lord, yes, a deposit slip, still warm with the whole of your muscular brethren. Do you guys have Crunch here, the gym? No? Okay, Crunch is a gym. Crunch IDs, it's a membership. So sometimes I pun the Bible books. And I was kind of like doing it here and there. And one that was really easy to pun is the next one, because I'm trying to reclaim like a feminine landscape. And this one was really easy. But it's called Deuteronomy. Yeah. Deuteronomy. What you propose to do is good. All day I picked satire from my teeth, and with my mind I witnessed the banks of my body pushing us up. I let the camel butts float in the river, plucked the white hairs from my scalp, and ignored my father's calls. I fluffed my second death. So I took the leading men, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you. Long Island is trending today. There is a town called Dix Hills, and at night I was brought there on the banks of my body pushing us up. You shall not enter it either. May the sons enter the land. There was no traffic. The sons entered the land, for they did not know good from bad. When I looked to the moon, he gripped inside my mouth and pulled out a silver globe. My skin spilled into yolk in the time it took me to lose my lord. My anxiety was a swarm of bees that could only lift the banks of my body, pushing us up. At the time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them. Bro, I was bawling in the brusky foam seas. I said stop the way I hold my back up, the way I know it will hold me even as I buckle. Bones formed around words, and I whittled the hills into many selfies. I duck-lipped like fuck to display the purity of my saliva. I have taught you decrees as the Lord my God commanded me, but my wet socks disgust me. I bend over Dix Hills. I call it my nation. I crush black tablets under my heel until they light. You will perish from the land you are crossing the river to possess, I whisper green-eyed into the ears of my dudes. They toss me over their shoulders because they were afraid of fire and did not go up to the mountain. I did. I chewed its bark and sexed it under the stars, but my dudes are innocent. They practice throwing me into sedans and shutting the door before I can bark. They remark on my lightness before driving us away. These are the other commandments. I proclaim them under my thinness, away from the noise. My thighs rang out in the quake of the engine. The Lord slipped through the tartar and plaque of my mouth. I spit him out on the doorframes of houses, shiny, calm, in love after all. And one more from this series, and then we'll enter something else. And so this is called Ezekiel, but it's like L. Like I don't know why we need to add L-E after anything. It's like a report, like a report test, you know, whatever. I mean, that's an ESS, but, you know, it's weird. Ezekiel. Well, I'm in my 30th year, and I have plunged the scroll inside me and let it honey my walls with golden import. I've bloated under the weight of my feckless comrades, yanked the rods of my torture into communion, forked my hair into my studious mouth, and spread apart my country to show you my survival. Because of all of your detestable idols, I am a certified daughter of man. I dry hump the mounds of my nations until I can taste the charcoal of my rations. The sun has banked the bones of men, and Lord, how can I repay you for sparing my kind, except I will not spare you. Well, I am that desolate waste you bat your lashes against. I am the sword by which you've checked your lips for smudges. I am the vinegar of your latest cleanse, the vile images of technology announcing the kombucha siege. Wouldn't you know it, my gold flickers with a level of decadence that only a cock could spoil, and a cock does spoil me. I go limp in its arms. I hold myself upright and unclean as the bones of men bake outside. You've never seen what hunger does to eagerness, the excellent scraping refusal into an empire. In a cloud of cigarettes, I told you the false direction of dystopia. That is, what we describe is part of the machinations of a utopia, and there is nothing but landscapes in the nothing plains of what we've done. Did you see the sexy way I kissed the chain? Did you see my northern entrance and how I dug a hole in the wall to eat my forgiveness, the hard twang of your weapon hot on my throat? That day I flared with inner court. I was all portico in the gloaming. I wiped my brow with an oilcloth and vowed to not look on the baking bones of men with pity or anger. There is something so bronze about my outlook these days, the way I bunch up the linen to fuck its distinguished corners. What else can I defile, I say, as I wipe my chin against my elders. I have done as you've commanded. I've forsaken the men who made us to be worshipped on altars. I've unclenched the word of my Lord and let their bantams trickle down my leg. I've rented the brownstone to hoard the unclean oxygen, and I've brushed the baking bones of men with schmaltz and issued a warning declaring us better. What I know of tenderness is what I know of violation, the restless insect of touch and our end. That is what you're saying. I must map a border so we can be the meat in it. But I have instead become the editorial director of prophecy, pulled out the Lord's curls and tied their tufts to the highest fence post. I've produced a popular reality show called How Weak Is Your Moral Constitution? And I've folded a net over my pursuers to force out apology each episode. There will be no delay. The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Down the street, I am the favored daughter because my fulfillment requires no power and no snares. I am the stuff of my idols. They cannot know what it meant to lean me over the chair and be so desolate they named the township after my shape. Apology and Downpour. This is not a Bible poem. Apology and Downpour. How cheap. Is this what it means to be human? The mouth of frown shutter pulsing warmth into appetite, into feed me. For days I have imagined myself neck cracked at the foot of the stairs, blinking slowly, numb to what else? The sense is like hot tea down my back. I wake to a white bone crowding my breath, the way a wilderness can be underwater, green, pushed beyond color and into the toxic finite. I stand in rain, as would any life form unhoused and unhuman. The road arches away into a gray comedy, so I am left with a regret like hands. To diagram the tongue is to dance on a red stage to no music. I cannot tell you how great it is, the weight of despair without reason. I read about Arctic explorers starving in the 19th century way, zodiac crushed in the chasm of white and white and white, and how the surgeon on board cut their veins with permission and instructed them, drink. They lived to be discovered, red-streaked beards, power blooming, having goddamn sipped the production of man. My mother elsewhere pushes herself up from the chair to lean on the counter. What do we do with our mistakes so they cease being ours? I am so far from love, thighs plushed, desire an oil-drunk rag, wet, useless. I push the eye into a Wisconsin rain, vowels draining a second heart. I am tired of truth, its courageous history, arguments sounding the mouth into a passage latched and beating. The gunmetal water, what I've always begged wanting, to stand in the drown of nothing, to blink so slowly you might mistake me for sleep, a silver fish, a seed so full of itself it may never open. Lift the soaked dress, swollen epoch we pretend is ours to keep. What do I want anymore but to change, to split into my body toward sufficiency? What else? These are both, that one and this one are pretty new since I've moved to Wisconsin and just stare at lakes all the time. Nocturne, an offering. First, I must take myself out of my memory. Here, a sprig to grip for the rupture. I want to make sense without incident, to play dead so you can see me stand up, brush my lap of floor dust. The times I've been on a floor, good fun, countless, so I remember my place. I let a fist bunch into a house. I do not see a house. The fire always licks the sides as it burns, the way a membrane dazzles under the sun of being seen. All day, I walk a million processions. They remind me to be gentle, take a bath. The river moves like a belief without God. I can say nothing has happened, and it hasn't. The river runs its gray math, and I run along it, sweat pocking out of me like exhaust water from my limbic system. I still remember. It does me no grand task to deny. A man stares at me as I lock my door. I watch his hand move from his side to his crotch. All day, I let the sweat reveal my skin in little droves of menace. It is nothing to lie. In my head, I make a tree in place of faith, the amorphous lump of thought. See how I live in devotion to scene. See how I exist without nouns. The float keeps me grateful, the vacuum a larger commotion of sympathy. You know, the way we construct power is hungry, braiding the strands over strands over strands until there is no labor, only the final image, an elaborate pleading skinned by language, sequins over sequence, the plump hand greasing into a star above me, my pores spinning glitter as the sky trickles through. In bed, I pluck red dots from the dark, the X of my body rubbed by a neighborhood boy, by basement air, by a beautiful damaged strand over strand over strand, and thus I turn lines into a shrub, a knot, a lobe warm behind hair, squeeze a tincture into my air, into my ear, and thus with a blank cheek turn. And I think I'll just read one more. It's a long one, but it's not that long. It's an excerpt from a long one, but it's from my long poem called Manhole that imagines a world without men. But I'm also making them again. I'm like making them from lines and graphs and all this stuff. So it's called Manhole. So I'll just read the first couple pages and thanks so much for having me, and thanks for coming out. Manhole. I left him unfinished. I just wanted to. The snow outside fills the sewers, and like my drive for power, will stop abruptly and soon. Starting now, I'll drop picture frames down the hole, drop food processors and Le Creusets and my chaste little letters. It's due to my interest in godless practices that undoes the ritual. I have a hole where I store my apps and typographies. I have a hole that will never move outside my body. When he is a beautiful, he adapts to a use state, thous his way into my pants to mortify my skins. He draws me over in charcoal. My dull, empty sternum pinks with creation. I have a hole capable of erasure, and his jaw hangs like a mantis. There. Then I make him just once, pierced with hundreds of holes. I make him to preen and prick and prune his skin till he bends in his beautiful stalk. Then I make him to crave my every sustenance as I fill him with clay and stone and ink. Here is a mirror to wander through, a hallway to crack over his knee. I make him to tender my strong arms as I spread him open with my knee. I give him bloomers. I give him diamonds. I give him my desiccated brainstem and ask if he'd like to go home now. He digs a hole in the ground and gets in, and this makes him mine forever. He needs to follow one smart line to the holes. He needs the holes sloshing his guts into a lather. I was lonely before I learned the care of men. Then I craved loneliness. The holes in my body swallow traffic cones. They learn to chuckle in their own membranous way. One definition of a hole is when men accidentally kill endangered wildlife, they fill the beasts with holes, sew in rocks, sink them in larger holes. One definition of a hole, I used to use maxi pads against my hole, and I could smell the perfumed cotton rot when a man slipped in through my window. One definition, the men have been wiped out. I've been given certain allowances to provide for my species. I miss them. I am Ursula, fat and witchy under the sea. One reason I fantasize about the recreation of men is because they always admit having loved me when they're done with me. The heart-sick goat of my stomach slaughters itself. I am so grateful to fill myself with god-awful certitudes as I bleed out. I don't hear them in the vents. I don't hear them over me in the dark emptying. I starve my body in case it drives them back. I store them in the hole outside my body. This isn't my hole, but a decent one. Keeps them veal dark and veal alive. Vials and vials worth of DNA. All these sad engorged wads of dead ocean. My poor men, so full of addendum, driven through the asphalt to occupy the space of a shit lake, shit river, shit rat god. When you are mine, you become animate. Only capable of burning selfies in the shit lake. I say when, I say, and when I close the sepulcher, it is done, and you are he again, the agnostic, whimpering he. I place a hole over you, under you, fill it with rock. Can't wait to return to my dumb bitch couch, where he is the border, empty, outside, where he is the hole. The holes I poured you in are becoming legible, can be read from left to right, up to down, under to over. The beauty of holes is that I cannot enter one without ceasing to exist in the seen world. That a body can disappear and become subsumed by space suggests that the body is nothing but an act of spectral negation. My sex is a star with its darkness pressed to the floor to temporarily light me, to lighten me. So the channels of men close, the lines of the men close. I have a sample of spit from the hate of my history, and I hawk and I hawk and I hawk in the holes of my men. To call a woman a hole is to suggest immediate use. To call a man a hole suggests grave incivility. Incivilities I place like a knife at the windowsill to cool. I've set a wishbone in boiling water to watch its holes appear. When I weep, my calcium brittles. My men limb in sinkholes until they are again important, until their duress makes me faint in my delicate sovereignty. History is a paper trail that leads to a hole. My personal history is always such that and that which, a dreadful taxonomy of reigning men. Hallelujah, I've dug up this adorable patriarchy and it wants to live. The classrooms of girls offend me with their careful thinking. Thinking is an act of dipping your hands into a hole that you hope will form a skin. I have crowned my foreskin a philosopher, its rhetoric so dry. When he is homely, he is a leader of men and glimmers a brawny integument of he. He is drawn from the rocks. He rapes a hole in me to fill me with rocks. My consent is my sinking to the seafloor. I hum and I hawk to the bottom. The hooked descending albatross is a beauty to behold, and I place its carcass like a key in his gray bloated sternum to bloom itself dry. When he is homely, a hole forms in his throat for him to speak. Stones fall out of his crude syntax. I make him hundreds of times, drill holes behind his temples to make his future extermination simple. I make him hundreds more times, freeze them mid revision. I make him hundreds of times, for he is homely, and I've made him to desire the keen white scalpel again and again. I make him hundreds of times, let his holes grow dusty from lack of speech. I make him hundreds of times, and he sits on a rock all bashful and glits. I make him hundreds of times until he is pretty and worth his weight in flesh. And in his flesh, I see him, the delicate sovereignty of his limbs. And when I see him, I scoop out his throat. I take it in the hole, and the look in his eyes tells me he's grateful. I thou him so hard, I can feel his fingers wrapping their worth round my neck. My love is a hole I can only make once. I make it hundreds and hundreds of times. Thank you.